Psalm 62, verses 1 to 7, and I want to preach a message to you entitled, Only. So just that one word is the title of the message, Only. And it comes from verses 1 through 7 of Psalm 62. Please notice what the Bible tells us. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Very good. I hope that is a blessing to you as we read those verses. And now I'm going to pray one last time. Then we'll get into this message where we look at this word only in those verses there. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Lord, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to be able to declare, thus saith the Lord. Thank you for that privilege. But I also know, Lord, that someday I will stand before you and give an account for the fact that I stood behind this pulpit and said, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, I need your help to make sure that when I stand before you, I will not be ashamed for the time that I've had here behind this pulpit tonight. Lord, if I do it in my own strength, if I'm left to my own devices, I will be ashamed. Lord, there's nothing good that I have to give to your people. Nothing. But Lord, I ask, would you please undertake, not only for me, but for your people, and more importantly for you, that Lord, the preaching that I do would be a true representation of thus saith the Lord. Please let that be the case. May Jesus Christ be magnified, may I be humbled, and may your church be edified tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help each one watching tonight to be blessed and helped. Lord, for those who maybe are not watching right now but should be, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd even burden their hearts to tune in. Lord, for others maybe who will watch later on when it's not live anymore but just archived, I pray that it'd be a blessing to them. Lord, that, again, they would be edified but that you would be magnified. And I thank you that you are our salvation, that you are our rock. Now, would you please help me to preach in such a way that that truth goes forth with power. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in these verses here, what I see is there are three times or three ways that the word only is used. And so, we'll look at those three ways. And the first way is really found in verses 1 through 4. And I would say it this way, that it is only destruction. Only destruction. What I mean by that is, there are some people who only want to destroy others, or we might even say that only want to destroy the righteous. So again, verse 1 of Psalm 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now look at verse 3. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? And then look at verse number 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. So, they only want destruction. First of all, the Bible tells us here that they only imagine mischief. Can you think about that in your mind, and can you picture somebody who is like that when they are laying in their bed at night, and they are perhaps still awake, and their eyes are closed, but they're dreaming a little bit, and just their mind is wondering. The only thing that they think about is mischief. And mischief doesn't just mean foolishness and being foolhardy. It just means causing problems for other people. And there are some people who, as they lay awake at night, that's what they dream about. And I'll be honest with you, as I've told you many times before, I don't understand always why certain people seem to be that way. I can't comprehend that. I don't understand that. But I do know it's true. I've lived long enough to see that, but also I see in God's Word that there are people who only imagine mischief. And you and I need to remember that. But not only do they only imagine mischief, they only consult to cast down. In other words, when they talk with their friends, when they take counsel together between themselves and other people, their whole goal is to cast others down. And again, what that gives us the idea of is it's not just one person, it's many people, and when they consult together, that's what they're consulting about. It's sad that it would be that way. But friends, it's something that we have to, as especially grown-ups, just have to come to grips with, that there are some evil people in this world, aren't there? They only want destruction. Not only do they only imagine mischief and only consult to cast down, but they delight in lies. Which, by the way, is the exact opposite of what the Bible tells us about that wonderful word, charity. We think of it as the agape kind of love, right? But our English version says charity, which is the right word for it. It is a special kind of love, a giving kind of love. And one of the things about charity is that charity does not delight in lies. Rather, it delights in the truth. And you know, that's what you and I should do as well. But there are people who delight in lies. When they are having a good time, it's all based on a lie. It's really a sad situation. And then the other thing that's said about them, not only that they imagine mischief and they consult to cast down and they delight in lies, but our verses that we read there tell us that they bless out of their mouth, but in their heart they're cursing people. That's really sad, isn't it? They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Their words would say that they want good for a person and for others, but based on what we've already seen, that they delight in lies and they consult to cast down and they imagine mischief, we understand that inwardly in their heart, they really want the destruction of other people. They curse at the same time. Well, the writer of the psalm, obviously God is the one who wrote it, but the human author that he used was King David. Did King David know anything about people who only wanted destruction? Obviously, yes. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we can see an example in God's Word of perhaps even what David was thinking about. I don't know for sure, but in 1 Samuel 22, perhaps in his mind, he remembered back to this time in 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 6. Notice what it says, that when Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having a spear in his hand and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day." Notice verse 9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine." Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said unto him, "Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?" Now, we're not going to read the rest of the chapter, but if you know anything about that chapter, you know that this priest of the Lord, Ahimelech, ends up basically his entire livelihood, his entire house is destroyed based on this false accusation by Doeg the Edomite. Everything around him and that family of priests is destroyed because of this falsehood, this lie, this mischief, this consulting to cast down that Doeg the Edomite takes as a part of his life. And friends, it's a very sad thing, but David could, I would imagine, look back on that time and remember that as he, in the previous chapter, had met there with Ahimelech, that Ahimelech had certainly questioned why he was there and given him some bread, and yes, gave him the sword of Goliath and all that, but Ahimelech was in no way trying to help David to conspire against King Saul, and yet David could remember that Doeg was there, and Doeg, of course, lied about Ahimelech. And I imagine that David perhaps even had that in his mind as he wrote a psalm like this, where he says, basically, in my own words, that there are some people who just consult to cast down, who only have destruction and mischief and misery and lies and falsehood in their mind. And friends, that's true today. There are people like that. And perhaps there's maybe a situation or a person or a group of people that are even in your mind as I preach this message that you think, yeah, Pastor, boy, that would fit the description of this group of people, or that group of people, or this individual, or that individual. Well, there are some people like that. But one of the wonderful things about Psalm 62 is the word only is not just used about only destruction. There's another only in Psalm 62, and that is in verse number 5. It says there, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." And obviously that's the second only. So the first one was only destruction. The second only is only wait. The psalmist gives himself a command. Did you ever notice that the psalmist often talked to himself? And sometimes I think that's okay to do, right? We need to give ourselves some instructions. Every once in a while it's okay to say, hey, knock it off. Quit whining. Quit acting like a baby. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." In other words, yes, there are those who only want destruction. But my soul, here's what you need to do. And friends, on this date in April here, April 22nd of 2020, what God would say to you and me as we look around, and in many cases we look around at the climate around us, not the climate as in weather, but the climate as in the political and societal climate around us, and we would say, wow, there are some evil people out there. But remember, that is true. There are people who only want destruction. But we need to remind ourselves of what God's Word says. We need to only wait upon God. And we'll talk in just a minute what it means to wait upon God. But can I give you an oversimplified explanation of what it means when it says only wait upon God? You know what that means, but let me remind you. To only wait upon God means you're not waiting on anything else. In other words, this: your hope is in God, period, end of story. And I want to challenge each one of us tonight, because I would imagine that all of us, if we're honest with ourselves and honest before God, many times we cannot say that we only wait upon God. Many times, if we're honest, I believe that today, this very night, if we were to examine our hearts and be honest before God, we'd have to say, God, yes, I'm trusting in You to some extent, but it's only a percentage. It's only a part of what I'm trusting in. I'm trusting in this person over here, or in that group over here, or I have hope that this situation will work out just the way I want it to. And we can't say honestly that we're waiting only upon God. And I believe that tonight God would want each of us to take just a moment and stop and say to ourselves, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Put your focus back on Him. Let Him be the source of your strength. Let Him be the source of hope for you. Don't let it be in politics. Don't let it be in society. Don't let it be in this thing or that thing, your job or your bank account or your health or any of those things. Or, you know, you could list 100 other things seemingly. Let it be only in God. That no matter what things look like here, my hope is in God. Now, turn with me, if you would, keep your place in Psalm 62, but turn with me to Psalm 123. Psalm 123, because I think that psalm gives us a great visual of what it means to wait upon God. Psalm 123. This is one of the psalms or songs of degrees From my understanding, that means that as they would walk to the temple of the Lord to worship, they would sing these songs as they walked up the steps, as they went up by degrees to the temple of the Lord. Verse number 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Boy, that psalm sounds a little bit like Psalm 62, doesn't it? That there are those who only want evil. There are those who would fill our soul with scorning and would look on us with contempt. But the answer to that is, Lord, our eyes wait upon Thee. That's what it says in verse number 2. Now, the interesting thing about verse 2, friends, is the fact that it says, it gives us an illustration of what it means to wait upon the Lord. It says, as the eyes of servants look under the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Now, obviously, a servant looking to the hand of his master and waiting upon his master, let's think about what that means, if you can picture that. It's a little bit hard for us, because we don't live in a society where servants and masters and all that exist. But if you can kind of allow your imagination to wander a little bit and think about that, what that would have been like back in the day when the psalm was written, think about what a servant would do. What would a servant look for from the hand of his master? Well, I wrote down 3 things, and I think these are correct. I would encourage you to meditate on these things and judge for yourself. But the servant would look to the hand of his master for direction. You know what you and I ought to do in times like this? Listen, we ought to look to God for direction. God has a specific will for your life. God may want you to do something or not do something that goes against logic. And I see in these days that so many people, and in a lot of cases, friends, good Christian people, that, again, I can't judge their hearts, I don't know their minds, I can't look into why they're doing what they're doing, but I can't help but think that perhaps they're doing what they're doing just simply based out of the logic that they can work out in their own head. Rather than seeking from God and God's face exactly what they ought to do, they're not waiting upon the Lord by looking at Him like a servant would look at their master, waiting for direction. And by the way, that's exactly what a master would do, right? Servant, go here and do this. Servant, go there and do that. Not only would a servant look to his master for direction, but also for provision. In other words, the master provided for the servant. The master would be the one to make sure that the servant had all that he needed. And you and I need to look to God for those things. One of the worst things about what we're going through nowadays is it just bothers me, and I imagine it bothers most of you as well, is that so many people are looking to the government to solve their problems. And friends, I want you to understand, I appreciate some of the things our government does, and I appreciate the fact that our officials have difficult decisions to make. And I try not to be too hard on anybody, because I would not want to be in their position. But I would say this, we dare not look to the government to solve our problems, whether that be financial or otherwise. We need to look to the Lord for our provision. Look to God. And then also for our protection. We need to look to God like a servant would look to his master. He would look there for protection. Now, one of the interesting things about Psalm 123 and verse number 2 is it doesn't just say, our eyes wait upon God like the eyes of a servant look to the hands of his master. It also says, as the eyes of a maiden under the hand of her mistress. It mentions a servant to master and a maiden to mistress. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I understand why God would include both of those in that verse. I know that obviously there would have been poetic reasons that would have flowed a little bit better and all of that. But you and I both know about God's Word that God doesn't just do things like that just for poetry's sake. There's something more behind that. And I don't know, and I even hesitate a little bit to share with you my thoughts, but I'm going to do so anyway. And I wonder if it's not because God is trying to show us that He cares for us. What I mean by that is this. Think about it. Generally speaking now, we men are pretty cut and dry. And when we deal with one another, we tend to deal with one another very, again, cut and dry. Just kind of, this is the way it is. You know, you can like it or lump it. There you go. And a master with his servant would very much be like Jesus said, right? You come in from the field, now I'm going to sit down, you serve me, and after you serve me, then you can eat. That would be a master and a servant relationship. But then the Bible also mentions that like a maiden and a mistress. So can you picture that same type of relationship of a servant and a master, but this time with two females? You see, because generally speaking, again, females tend to be a lot more concerned about relationships, and there tends to be a little more tenderness there. And again, not having grown up and not having lived in that kind of society, I can only imagine what that would have been like. But I can almost picture the difference between a master and a servant, and then a mistress and a maiden would be this, that the mistress and her maiden would, although one is still a servant, they would have a closer relationship. There would be more of a desire to maintain a relationship, and there to be some friendship and some love and some tenderness there, although one is still serving the other. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why God includes that in there, that He wants you and me to understand that as we wait upon the Lord, it's not just a master and a servant relationship, although we are His servants. But there is some tenderness there. There is some love there that God has for us. And He's not just being cruel, and He's not just giving us directions and not caring about us. He does care about how all of this affects us. And I want you to understand tonight that even as we go through the things that we're going through, God cares about where you're at. And He cares about what you're going through. He's not blind to all that you're feeling and all that you're going through. So we've looked at the fact that in Psalm 62, as we turn back there, by the way, that the first only was there are some people who only want destruction. The second only is that we are to tell ourselves, my soul, only wait upon God. But then the third only in Psalm 62 is found in verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. By the way, that is a almost word for word restatement of verse number 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And then verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. So here's the truth, right? There are some people who only want destruction. Absolutely. And we need to tell ourselves, my soul, wait thou only upon God. But the wonderful news is this, that God is our only rock. In other words, this, you have no other place to go. Any other thing or person or circumstance that you try to use as your salvation, as your refuge, as your hope, as your glory, listen, all of those things will fail you. You have one rock, and that rock is God. He only is your rock. Now notice what it says about that in verse number 6 again. He only is my rock and my salvation. Notice that it puts those two things together, rock and salvation. And boy, there's some interesting things for us to consider there. That God is our rock. What does a rock do? Well, a rock gives you sure footing, doesn't it? The rock is really the opposite of sand. When, you remember when Jesus talked about in Matthew 7 that there was a wise man and a foolish man, and the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? He digged down deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. The foolish man, he built his house on the sand. The floods came, the winds blew, all of that to both of those houses, but only one stood, and that was the one that was founded on a rock. And that is the person who not only hears the words of Christ, but builds his life upon the words and the truth of God's Word. And so you and I can understand that, that God is our rock and we need to base our life upon Him. Again, let me ask you this question. Is there any other thing or place or group of people or one person individual that you are looking to be your rock? If it's anyone other than God, then friends, you'll be in trouble. Because we've already seen it. Tough times do come, don't they? Isn't it amazing how quickly things change? Seem like somebody turned off a light switch or turned on a light switch and things changed in an instant. And we realized, wow, you know, it could be tomorrow that God is all I have. You know, one of the things that's important for us, I really wish that all of you were able to be here. I wish these chairs were filled again. I look forward to the day when they are. And I would like to see things change very, very quickly, as I mentioned before to you. But I would also recognize this, that, you know, one of the things that I believe God is trying to do with us during this time is to help us realize we need to remember that, you know, tomorrow, church as we know it could be taken away from us. And then what are we left with? Friends, we're blessed to be able to have live stream, but what if tomorrow that was taken away? What would your Christianity be like? What would you have? Are you looking to the church to be your rock? Are you looking to your pastor to be your rock? Are you looking to your friends and your relatives that are a part of the church to be your rock? Friends, all of that could be taken away tomorrow. But you know, if God is your rock, and all of this is just a help to take you back to your rock, then you'll stand firm even in the difficult times. Yes, it'll be hard and all of that, but you'll have a rock. And then not only is He mentioned as our rock, but also our salvation. And notice what it says in verse 6 at the end. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And we need to be that way. Nothing should move us. We should stay firm. I'm reminded of Psalm 119. I believe it's Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Of course, that means nothing will cause them to stumble. Nothing will cause them to fall out of the way because they love the law of God. Well, that's what will happen when God is our rock. But He's not only mentioned as our rock and our salvation, but verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. Salvation is mentioned again, but now glory. In other words, what do we glory in? What is our dependence on? What is it that we get excited about? What is it that warms our heart and encourages our heart when we're downtrodden? And friends, if I could encourage you in one thing in these days, get into this book right here. Get into the Word of God. Read it. Meditate on it. Study it. Spend time in prayer. Read it when you get up in the morning. Read it at noontime when you're eating your noon meal. And read it at night after your evening meal and before you go to bed. Get into this book and read it and meditate on it. It will be a source of strength to you. It will be something that will warm your heart and encourage you in the dark days. You and I need this book. And sometimes we're looking to other things too much. And perhaps we need to turn off those other things. Perhaps we need to close down the computer and turn off the television and get back to God's Word. So in this message here this evening, we've seen three onlys. Yes, there are those who only want destruction. But you and I need to remember to tell ourselves, soul, wait thou only upon God. And then, He only is our rock. He's our only hope. I hope that these three onlys will be three onlys that you'll always remember, especially as you read Psalm 62. What we're going to do at this time is I'm going to close in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray with me there in your home. Let's ask God to help us in that. Then at that time, what we'll do is we'll take just a few moments and I'll give you time to pray there in your home over the list that was sent to you. And I'll pray over the list that I have here. And then what we'll do after that then is I'll close with a prayer when I feel like we've had enough time for that. Dear Lord, thank You for the fact that in spite of those who only want destruction, that we have a rock and that rock is Christ. Thank You that we have Your Word in our hands. Thank You, Lord, that we have something to lean on. Now, Lord, would You help us to wait only on You? Lord, I pray that you'd use this message in my life and the lives of each person, of the life of each person who's watching this evening and will watch later. Lord, there are so many things that want to take our attention. There's so many things that, Lord, we don't often know what should we do about this thing or that thing. Lord, we wonder how much we should get involved and how much we should do this thing or that thing and how much we should strive in this life. And Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom, but in all these things, help us to wait only upon you. Lord, we need that from you. I personally need that from you. And I know that the rest of the church members need the same thing. Thank you, Lord. Please bless in the prayer time now. In Jesus' name, amen.